This is Dr. Mike Crivetti at Crivetti Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Welcome to podcast number two. Hope you enjoyed the first one, and I hope you enjoy the ones after this. My guest's appearance today remained the same, culprits. My partner, Dr. Caleb Pinniger.
Howdy, everybody.
And my other partner, Dr. Tomas Kuchera.
How's everyone doing?
I'd say we're doing pretty well. It's another great day here at Crivetti Orthopedics. It's Thursday night, so we're going to find something really fun to do. So I'm going to go off the board for 200 today. I'm going to throw you guys a little curveball. So tell me about, well, give me an experience, especially you, Kuchera, since you jump off of things. You had to hurt yourself some point, right? And at some point, you felt that you were pretty tough. Tell me a story that made you feel tough.
Tough or weak?
No. I want to know about tough. You did something that, you know, I'm tough, you know, that proves that you're tough. I mean, I'm not sure you're tough, but I mean, you know.
Who proves it tough? I was probably actually right when I moved to Vegas. I didn't know anyone, and so someone conned me into doing one of those Spartan races, and it was a Spartan Super way out the Mesquite Ranch, and it was 10 miles with 30 obstacles in the middle of the Mesquite Desert, and I thought I was pretty tough until you had to, like, run 9 miles and flip tires, and so I finished it in a respectable time, hands bleeding as usual, and I thought that was a pretty tough race, so it was my journey out into the West.
How about like when you were a resident or when you were a fellow, you did anesthesia? I mean, how about that like third day when you're there and you're just at your last wit's end, right? You've been awake for many days, you're taking care of people. Did that make you feel kind of tough?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, I guess we don't think of medicine that way too, but we used to do those 24-hour shifts. Even us youngins, as you say, had to do them. And I remember a particular day, it was, you know, 10 cases in a row. I was tired, and then they called in a pediatric liver transplant. It was my first one. It was a really, really sick kid, and it was just 12 hours, you know, where your eyes are watering at the end of it, but you're still doing your best job keeping the kid alive. And it was a very, very, very tough case where, you know, pound on the chest a few times. Kid made it just fine, but it was a pretty scary 23 hours, and I think it was 10 straight hours, no peeing, no nothing, and kind of that was probably the toughest case I had.
Right on, but at least you felt when you were done, you're like, I'm pretty tough.
Yep.
Right? You made it through. The kid lived. Transplant went good. The kid's probably out running around today, I hope, doing something great. How about you, Dr. P? Now, so keep in mind, you have four children.
Right. Okay, strictly
so,
me
so
being
what makes
here
you tough?
And being alive, I consider that a success story right now. As far as a sporting event, I know I had the, prior to starting medical school, a couple of friends and I, we were like, let's go do something totally memorable before it's time to really hit the books hard. We had just finished college. We were ready to go play. So we went to Thailand on a big rock climbing trip because Thailand has amazing rock climbing. I loved that growing up. I was a pretty avid rock climber before I took on the dad bod. And at that point, ran out there. And something about rock climbing, when you're with your friends, until, like, everybody fails and fails and fails until the first guy sends it. Once the first guy sends it, usually the rest of the guys do it. So that day, I got
sending it meaning climbs right to the top.
Start from the bottom all the way to the top. You're attached to a rope, but you climb the route as if you had no rope. You never relied on it. You never sat and hung. You never had to rest. So get to the top. I'm the first one to go that morning, send it, the next guy sends it, the next guy sends it, everybody goes home happy. So that was a victory. That was fun. That was real fun.
Made you feel pretty cool, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you guys know recently, you remember I cut my foot, I operated on myself?
Yeah. Right? When I was wondering why you didn't call me?
Right. Yeah. Actually, yes. Why didn't I call you? It's early in the morning and I thought I'd sneak into the surgery center and operate on myself. I never had the opportunity to do that. So I figured I'd operate on myself. And then, you know, I had some of those same trauma experiences, stayed up for 3 days. I thought it was pretty tough. So here's the curveball today. So, as you guys know, my daughter's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Why do dads cry? Let me ask you a question. We're tough guys, right? We just talked about three great stories, right? And I'm going to bring in Mike Almeida, because Mike has three daughters also. Mike runs all of our media and marketing. So all the great things you see about us in town, he and Eric Selvig are responsible for making all these great things happen. So here's my dilemma. I have to give a speech coming up in 3 weeks. Pretty tough guy, right? So tell me why grown men cry when they give speeches at their daughter's wedding. Tomas, now you're not a dad yet.
Yep.
But you will
that
be,
know
I guess.
We know of yet. You know.
Not that you know of. But if, from a medical standpoint, I'll give you the medical side, then I'll give the dads the other side. Why do you think men cry?
Well, remember, I'm from Eastern Europe. We don't cry.
Right.
So, I mean, why you Americans cry?
There you go.
If they cry,
because your wuss is unlike the home country.
Them, right? Right? If they cry there, they kill them?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
God, I'd have been dead over spilled milk recently in these last couple
of
months.
So do you anticipate the tears, or have you been practicing in the mirror and already had the tears?
Well,
that's kind of what I'm wondering.
Actually, I was on the Stairmaster last week, and somebody came up and asked me if something was wrong, and I said I had gotten something in my eye.
Ah.
That was my excuse for tearing up on the Stairmaster last week, as I was practicing my speech while watching a rerun of a 49ers football game. So I was trying to watch a really tough game. I was trying to watch all different sports. I was working real hard in the Stairmaster just to prove I was tough. And then the tears came as I thought about the speech. So tell me, you have a daughter, right?
Ah, yeah.
All right? You have a daughter, little Coco. And so can you imagine her getting married?
Zippo. She never will.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted Brielle to get married at 50, but I mean that's not gonna happen either. So she's gonna get married. So what do you think that would be like for you? I mean, it's a long way away.
I guaranteed will hardly be able to talk.
I will be
bawling my eyes out. I mean, we've at church functions during a baby's blessing. I'm a disaster.
Yeah.
But I'm tough. Let me tell you what. I'm tough. But I will cry like a baby.
Why do you think, like, here's my thought, right? So you win the Super Bowl and people cry, right? Yeah. Big football players. I mean, they're 6'8", 350, right? They're crying, right? You win the World Series, people cry. What is it inside you that makes you cry? Like, if you were to say, this is why I'm rolling tears right now. What do you think it is? So let's bring in the father of two beautiful, well, father of three beautiful daughters,
great,
two of which are married. And tell us, so did you feel like you teared up a little bit when you gave, because he gave pretty good speech at the wedding?
You know, I think a little bit has to do with the fact that you spend 20 some odd years raising these girls as the main, you're the main male in their life. And they look up to you. They look to you for everything. You're their guy. And part of that is you lose some of that when they find their husbands, the ones that they're going to spend their lives with. You lose a little bit of that. So I think that's where the sadness comes from that thought that you, again, you might not be the first phone call. It depends on who they marry. But it's that idea that, again, you've spent, like I said, 25 and 26 is when they got married. You spend that many years with them being the main dude in their lives. And now all of a sudden you got to share that with some other dudes.
Yeah. How do you spin that around into, like, tears of joy, though? Like, where you're at the wedding, you're seeing all these amazing people. We have 200 and some people coming, of which we love them all. Now, I didn't ask Brielle if she just could love 60 of them, and she informed me that she loves 400 of them, so I'm happy with the 200 number at this point. But you figure there's probably some tears of joy there, right? Like all these things, these dreams are coming true, you know, from when they're little all the way through. And I also thought about this, and you tell me if this is, because I remember I got to give this speech, right? So it's kind of about winning, right? Like, if you think about the World Series, you think about the Super Bowl, it's kind of about winning, right? You feel all this hard work, commitment, determination, right? All the things that lead up to a marriage, right? And lead up to being together, and you're just constantly winning. Everybody in that room is going to be a winner. Right? That reminds me, the four of us will be in that room. Winners!
Winners!
Hashtag. Speaking of winners and your competitiveness, what it really is there's a best man speech, and you don't want the best man speech to be better than the bride's dad speech, right? Let's be real here.
Well, I haven't decided whether I'm going to let him speak yet. So,
depending on
how my speech goes, if my speech is well received, then of course I will let him speak. Otherwise, he will not be speaking that.
Oh, so,
Just, but all the great people, you're thinking about all these people that you've met throughout the years. And, you know, Brielle's 26, right? So from when she's born, all these people, and even her college friends, right? You feel, it's got to choke you up. But why?
It's a celebration.
Yeah, it has to be, right?
It's a celebration of how hard you've worked as a parent, I think. And to be able to share in that moment with your children, to be there to with your family, with their friends, with your the significant other's family and friends, to be there all together, I think that's it's just one of the happiest moments that you can experience as a dad.
Yeah, one of my recent crying moments as a parent, yesterday, thinking about this today, was my son recently turned 21. I couldn't give the speech. It was terrible. I'm like, I mean, you know, I like him. He's my son. I mean, I don't know. I was just, maybe I was just overly happy we can actually go get a drink together, right? I mean, he did have his first drink on his 21st birthday. And I got to be there for it. And the guy refused to card him. And I started to cry about that. I'm like, okay, what is happening to me? So then I got this wedding coming up and there'll be tears. So give me a couple of things that you think coming up for your kids, you're going to have to give a talk, and how are you going to handle it? And I mean, I need preparation stuff,
preparation.
Right? I can't stand on the Stairmaster every night and cry. So give me some preparation stuff. Do I imagine everybody in their underwear?
That can be disturbing. I would be careful about that. I mean,
you could,
but you might find yourself, you look across, nope, not there. You look over, nope, don't look there, like... You'll find yourself looking very distracted.
Do you think everybody else should turn around, or you think I should turn around so I can't see everybody? I mean, I'm paying for the wedding. Shouldn't everybody else have to turn around?
You know what you could do? We could get you some really scratched up sunglasses. Ooh. So that you could just put them on. They won't know you can't see, but you'll be blind.
We could get the ones with the big eyes, so it looks like I'm looking.
We could also do that. I just figured there might be photos, so you may not want those, but that's a great option.
So how do you prepare? What did you do, Mike? How did you prepare for that counter? Did you, because Karen wants me to write something. She wants me to, you know, be ready to give this talk. My buddy Steve is like, look, I had to have something prepared. Now, you guys have seen me talk a lot of times in public and everything else, and I never have. Am I pushing the limit here by not doing that?
I didn't write down anything for either of the girls' weddings. I just wanted to say what was from my heart and what I was feeling at the moment. I think people expect that from me. I don't know. I think it'll come to you, whether it's a week before the wedding or if it's a couple hours before the wedding. I just didn't want to sound contrived,
rehearsed.
And rehearsed. It's just not my style. And I probably should, because you forget stuff when you don't write it down. But that's just my style.
My thought with that, I've seen you give, you know, at our work parties, the work events, your speeches, you have got something great to say about each employee, and you offer a word of advice or you offer a memory, and they've always been concise and great. Now, with a big event like this where you're probably speaking a touch longer because you're only talking really about one person, I like the idea when you have a couple bullet points that you make sure you want to hit. And when my son was blessed, I had a couple bullet points on an index card, which I'd memorized well enough that I didn't have to use the card, but I knew a couple points I wanted to hit in case I got super off track. And that helped. I mean, you're doing by practicing it a time or two.
All right, now you're scaring me. I wasn't going to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You said you did. You said you're on the Stairmaster practicing.
Okay. Yeah. But it was just ideas. I wasn't actually saying out loud, I just want to welcome everybody to Brielle's wedding. There are people walking by.
Yeah, don't forget to thank people for showing up, Caleb and Thomas. I mean, thank you for showing up here, helping with the speech. Just open with that. It'll go perfect.
Should I start with that? Couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. We'll take it.
Why, so we cry right away?
I know that my daughter was... actually about 23 before we met, so she was on her way, but thank you guys.
I don't think I could have done it without you.
Yeah, exactly.
Would that be approach you'd like me to take on this?
Well, I mean, she didn't get engaged until we came on board in the practice. I'm just saying that. You know what I mean?
That's a very good point.
There we go.
And you wouldn't get engaged until we let you. So there you go. So I guess that's right
this
on back.
This is great.
This is getting us all out of trouble.
God, this is good stuff.
Wait a sec. Are our kids going to listen to this? Like, hold on a sec.
Mine won't. I don't let them play on that internet stuff right now. They'll, if they find it, they will. My son told me I have a body for radio. That was nice, right?
He did. That's great.
That was not kind.
He said, you have a body for media?
Yeah. Hanging out with Kuchera is rubbing off on the kids.
I bet he heard it from Kuchera.
Was he standing on the wide load sign? Like, you were saying that next to your desk? Oh, no. Yo, what is up with that? Give the dad bod a break, man. You should have seen me when I came out. Listen, I didn't go to the gym for 10 years.
Here
I taking in working so hard.
Here at Coretti Orthopedics, we are very, very concerned about safety, all sorts of safety, patient safety, employee safety, and the you know, I may or may not have put a wide load sticker in Dr. Pinniger's office just to make sure that, you know, everyone's safe. He knows that he walks in, he needs a little bit more room.
I don't want to hit my hip on the corner of my desk. It was kind of him.
You were just getting a bag for the fart machine you couldn't find.
Yeah, for 3 months.
For 3 months. That you thought it was me.
Yeah.
Next to you, and it was obviously in the ceiling. You couldn't find the fart machine. I think we're having fun here at Coretti Orthopedics. I appreciate all the advice today. I got to tell you guys, I'll let you know how it goes. Well, I won't let you know. You'll be there. But I just hope nobody records it. If you get it on your phones, you guys got me for a long time. But anyway, Mike Almeo, guest star.
Thank you for having me.
Father of three beautiful. I know. I love all three of them, as you know. But two of them are married, which is why I keep bringing up the two that are married.
So very excited for the wedding.
Hope you all have a wonderful week, and we look forward to a great topic next week. Thanks so much. We had some great feedback of our first podcast, also known as podcast number one. Feedback was awesome. One of the things a lot of folks gave us a call and said, hey, what if we wanted to ask you a question, make a comment? We really do want to talk about medically related activities, the future of students, the future of residents, what we do every day, some of the great stories we have through all of our training, and some of the great patients we take care of today. All different age groups. It doesn't matter. We have such a great time doing so, and be happy to answer any questions. If you want to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or any of the social media outlets, go to CrovettiOrtho.com, click on one of them, leave us a question, and we can't wait to get to the podcast where we get to answer it. Thanks so much.